Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I am your host, Brian Tonsoni. This episode, we will discuss our college football rankings for a mythical 8-team playoff and some other college information, along with what to watch segment, our State of Indiana College Football Report, and B-Rent's take in a little different fashion this week. And all of those things put together, we hope make an enjoyable show. For more information on this podcast and other sports, please read our work at sportstalkwithtonsoni.com and follow us on Twitter at SportsTons, SportsTons. Also check out DelphiBracketology.com for some work of our students here at Delphi Community Schools. Please let us know your thoughts. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and most other podcast hosts. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, September 24th. Before we begin this episode, here is a word from one of our sponsors. Welcome back to the show. Things happening this week, quite interesting. Friday night, Antonio Brown was released by the New England Patriots. A great talent, but very much a disturbed young man at this point. If the New England Patriots are done with you, then you are really, really in trouble because they have a way of bringing people in with checkered past and helping them be productive. Sad to see such a good player take a trip down this path, and I think it'll be some time before Antonio Brown plays in the NFL again. Major League Baseball is wrapping up, and unfortunately for me, the Chicago Cubs lose 6 in a row. Is their winning window coming to a close? Some of the best baseball in Cubs history. 4 playoffs in 5 years and a run right down to the last 2 weeks this year. Hopefully that continues. Some changes maybe will be made on the roster and maybe with the coaching staff. On the other hand, B-Rent's team, my son, loves the St. Louis Cardinals, and they have played excellent baseball in the month of September to all but lock up, and probably by the time you're listening to this, have locked up the Central. The only race probably still alive is the American League wild card, 3 teams trying for 2 spots, and we'll talk a little Major League Baseball in next week's show. We talked last week about replacement quarterbacks. They did very well. Kyle Allen, Carolina, Daniel Jones, New York Giants, and Jacoby Brissett, Indianapolis Colts, all led their teams to victories last week and put up really solid numbers. Notre Dame versus Georgia, the college football game of the week last week, was just that. It was a solid slugfest for college football, and both teams played well. Georgia obviously gets the benefit in the rankings. Notre Dame will hang around the 9 through 11 ranking on the outside of the college playoff. Will need a lot of things to break their way in order to get back into contention. What to watch for next week? The Major League Baseball playoffs begin, and we'll see who's in there and who's the favorites. You have a couple teams in the American League that have played extremely well, and you have the Los Angeles Dodgers and everyone chasing them in the National League. Bye weeks begin in the NFL. Make sure you're checking your fantasy football rosters in order to make sure you don't leave anyone who is not playing in your active roster. Last week in the state of Indiana, college football looks like this. Purdue had a bye week. The Boilers look to heal up some of their injuries as they're leading into their Big Ten opener this Saturday at home versus Minnesota. The Indiana Hoosiers won their 3rd game of the year, defeating UConn 38-3. Key play to put a lot of separation between the two teams was defensive back Cam Jones with the highlight of the day with a pick 6 to start the second half scoring. Quarterback Peyton Ramsey threw for 3 TDs, and running back Stevie Scott rushed for 97 yards. Indiana travels to East Lansing to face the Michigan State Spartans this Saturday. The Ball State Cardinals traveled to ACC land to play North Carolina State and came up short, 34-23. Quarterback Drew Plitt continues to shine with his quarterback play with another 300-plus yards passing day. The 1-3 Cardinals will begin MAC conference play on the road against Northern Illinois this Saturday. Speaking of the Fighting Irish, they lost to Georgia 23-17. It was a close defensive battle, and the Irish simply could not muster up enough offense to pull out the win. Notre Dame, with 1 loss, will be on the outside looking in and will host Virginia this Saturday. The Indiana State Sycamores earned their 2nd win of the season by defeating Eastern Illinois 16-6. ISU made a big defensive stand keyed by Denzel Bonner's interception late in the game. That led to a game-clinching field goal by Jerry Nunez for the final score of 16-6. The Sycamores will take on South Dakota on the road this Saturday. Those interested in our college pick'em, please check out DelphiBracketology.com, where we have a college pick'em article every week. I will say the two of the three possible upsets did happen. So maybe if you're looking for that winning bet, check out DelphiBracketology.com. It's now time for B-Rent's take, and this week we have B-Rent as our main guest and our main storyline, so we'll get many of his takes, and the subject this week is college football. A few weeks ago, he mentioned that he would like to see an 8-team playoff, and Brent will join us here shortly to discuss what teams at this point would make such an 8-team playoff. Joining me on the phone from Terre Haute is my son, B-Rent, and normally this will be time for B-Rent's take, but we're going to do a series of B-Rent's takes as he is our guest this week when our main storyline is the college football season has been going on for 4 weeks, and we kind of have a look at who the best teams are. And a few weeks ago, B-Rent's take was the need for an 8-team playoff instead of a 4-team playoff, and so we're going to run with that here tonight as our starting point in talking about college football, and we're going to count down from 8 to 1 to discuss what an 8-team playoff would look like. So, Brent, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
Always good to hear your point. So let's get started right away. Who would be your 8th team in an 8-team playoff if the playoff started today?
Playoff started today, I would have Wisconsin at number 8.
I also have Wisconsin at number 8. I think their schedule is extremely tough, especially in the crossover Big Ten games. But, boy, what a dominating performance over Michigan last week. I think they would come in number 8. Brent, who do you have at number 7?
I have Auburn number 7.
I also agree with that, Auburn number 7. They have a freshman quarterback who's doing really well and have a couple of key wins away from home that'll keep them in the playoff hunt. Brent, your number 6 team.
Oklahoma, number 6.
We agree. We are 3 for 3 so far. Jalen Hurts has been fantastic. I love the story of
really good.
Of doing it right, staying with Alabama in case he was needed, and playing in the SEC championship, then transferring, doing it right. And so I think that's a team to watch. And now here's where we start to disagree. Who is your number 5 team?
I have LSU at number 5.
And I have Georgia at number 5. Why do you what do you think about LSU's chances this year?
I think they have a really good chance to, like, make the top 4, but we're going off what the season ends today, and I was really impressed with Georgia really fighting through. They didn't play their best game on Saturday against Notre Dame, but that was a really solid win. I know LSU has some impressive wins themselves, but Georgia was ranked 3 last week and got a top 10 win. So if the season ended today and the playoffs start today, I still don't see LSU necessarily being above Georgia at this point. But I do think that both teams have some, like, that could flip in the coming weeks for sure. LSU is not far off from the other 4 teams that I have, but I just think at this point they're not above some other teams.
And I think the committee looks at the potential and what the team can do as well. Georgia gets a nice win over Notre Dame. It was at home. I have LSU quite a bit higher because their win was on the road against a ranked team. I'll talk about that when I get to them. I do think Georgia is probably in better position overall than some other teams. Your number 4 team, Brent?
I have the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I think the Buckeyes also will be right now would be in the 4-team playoff. I think they have not beaten anyone yet, and I think the Big Ten might eventually be a problem for the Ohio State Buckeyes because Michigan doesn't look as good. They're on the road in Nebraska. I don't know where they get their quality wins. Georgia has a quality win. LSU has a quality win. You know, Alabama and Clemson will probably add some. Oklahoma as well. I do think Ohio State on the eye test should be in. Okay, Brent, you're number 3.
Can I add something on Ohio State real quick?
Go ahead.
I know that their wins are not good. I mean, their one conference win was against Indiana, and their 3 non-conference wins were not very impressive. But I think that Fields kid is unreal. And I think even though just from the eye test, like, I think even though they haven't beaten anyone yet, like LSU and Georgia have, I think that kid can compete with the best of them. So I would love to see him in the 4-team playoff just to get him that chance to go up against the best team and see if I'm right about that or if maybe he's too young to compete at that level. But I think he is the real deal.
And all of these teams in the top six have great quarterbacks. Auburn has a freshman phenom. Wisconsin has a great running back. They do not have a good quarterback. So quarterbacks are leading some of these teams. And that brings us to our number three pick, Brent. Who do you have?
Yeah, I have Georgia right now at number three.
And I have, surprise to many people, Alabama. I don't think Alabama has beaten anyone. I almost put them below a Georgia team because I think Georgia's Notre Dame victory is better than Alabama's win on the road at South Carolina. And I think you do have to look at who have you played. Maybe that's a little bit of my basketball influence, that you got to beat good teams to be ranked high. You can't just be good. Who's your number two team, Brent?
Number two, I have Alabama at number two.
And I'm going to surprise people with LSU being two. I think their road win at Texas and the play of Joe Burrow really speaks volumes. LSU is putting up points, and they're going to cause Alabama and Auburn some difficulty when they play this season. And I think LSU deserves to be in the playoff, 4-team playoff, but number two. And I think we both agree on number one, Brent.
Yep, I got Clemson number one for sure.
Clemson number one. I think they deserve it. I do think they might run into trouble. The ACC is struggling this year to have a second-place team be of high quality. And so, again, I think the SEC is really loaded and will probably have two teams. If I could pick the top four, I really would go Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, and Oklahoma right now with Georgia and Alabama on the fringe. But let's look at some of your matchups, Brent. You would have, in this 8-team playoff that you like, Clemson versus Wisconsin. Who wins that game?
Clemson wins it, and I think they win it easily. But Wisconsin is really, really good. I know Coach Harbaugh and Michigan are getting a lot of heat, but still to be able to win in that dominating fashion was very impressive. You know, I was impressed with Wisconsin's defense not allowing any points through the first 2 weeks, even though they weren't playing good teams. They didn't allow a single point through the first 2 weeks. That's impressive. I think Wisconsin is the real deal, but they still would fall short to an overpowering Clemson team.
And then your second quarterfinal matchup would be Alabama-Auburn, which would be a rematch of the Iron Bowl that's played at the end of the season every year. Who wins that?
Alabama. I mean, it would just be hard to – I know they got some injuries on the defense, I think, but it is hard to pick against Nick Saban in Alabama every single year. I want them to lose. I'm tired of the same teams being in the same spot every single year, but Alabama would definitely win that game.
I agree, and it's been a consensus topic every week about who will knock off Clemson and Alabama. I'm ready for some new teams in the championship game, ready for some new teams in the playoffs. But if that were the matchup, your number three team is Georgia playing Oklahoma. What a great matchup. Two great teams. Does Oklahoma have a chance against Georgia in a 3-6 matchup?
Yes, and that's where this is the type of game, as a fan, why I want a top eight, or top eight instead of top four. Because of a team like Oklahoma getting the chance to play a team like Georgia for a championship, like, I think Oklahoma would win that game. But that's where I think my upset would come in. I love Jalen Hurts. I think he would go in there firing on all cylinders. I think they would upset Georgia in that matchup to have him play his former team Alabama in the next round. And who wouldn't want to see that if you were a college football fan?
And speaking of quarterbacks playing their old team, you would have Jalen Hurts in the semifinal playing against Alabama. You also have a former quarterback in Joe Burrow, who was an Ohio State Buckeye at one time. You have a 4-5 matchup of LSU versus Ohio State, and that would be a quarterback going back to play Ohio State. Who wins between Ohio State and LSU?
Ohio State wins that one. I think it would be a very interesting storyline, like you said, and I still am waiting to see Ohio State get a good win. I've watched most of their games up to this point, and I think they're the real deal. I know LSU does have that road win against Texas, but I am very impressed. I think I think this could potentially, talent-wise, be one of the best teams Ohio State has had in a while. And that's not saying they've been bad, obviously. They've been one of the best teams in the country year after year. But I think Fields and everything, I think they would advance to play the next round.
And that's why I agree with you, Brent, on the 18. My rankings were a little different. Clemson, Wisconsin would play LSU, Auburn instead of Alabama, Auburn. And then Alabama, Oklahoma, that quarterback feature would be in the first round in my matchups, and Ohio State, Georgia. I agree with your comment about these matchups would make college football really enjoyable. And it does just extend it a couple of weeks. But basketball starts in November and ends in March is a five-month. And I know the physicality is a lot different in football, but, boy, an 18 playoff would really, really be good. We did talk about maybe including all five of the top five conference champions, but we felt that the Pac-12 champion would probably not be deserving of breaking into this. But you do have four SEC teams, so maybe the argument is the fourth SEC team could be dropped out for a Washington and Oregon who runs the table in the Pac-12. Any last thoughts on the final eight, Brent?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, like, if we're going off of my top eight, you look at LSU 5, Oklahoma 6, Auburn 7, Wisconsin 8. Like, if I was a coach, I would be so ticked off if my team was the fifth team in the country. Only four teams technically ranked higher than me, and I don't get a chance at a championship. In basketball, you have so many teams from lower conferences that get a chance at a championship. Obviously, you still see the Power 5 schools win time and time again, but those other teams get a chance. And so the fact that, like, a team like LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn, and Wisconsin won't even get that chance. They'll just get one bowl game to have a trophy, which is good. It's good for the program. But when you're that close to the top four and you don't make it, that's just not right in my eyes.
So those are our teams in the top eight. We've shared some ideas on some teams. Give me two teams that you think could maybe get into a top eight and maybe eventually even move into a top four if things break their way. We call them honorable mention teams.
My honorable mention is Notre Dame and Texas. I know they both have had tough losses, but both of those losses have been teams in our top eight. And Notre Dame's loss was on the road to Georgia, and they competed well, I think, for the first three quarters. And I think they have a chance to be a really solid team, and they challenge themselves. They're scheduling really well, and Texas, I think, is really talented, just fell short in a home game against LSU. So I think both those teams will need a lot to go their way, but it's not out of the picture necessarily.
And that's another reason, Brent, that the top eight would be a nice tournament too, is these teams played really good competition and lost close games, and their season would still have some meaning. Right now, there's probably very little chance that Texas and Notre Dame can get into a Final Four. And so it still rewards teams for playing well and scheduling well. There are a couple teams, Brent, that we talked about that have a very slim chance that are undefeated. What teams would fit that mold?
Florida and Penn State. I think we both have Florida and Penn State.
Yep. I don't think they're good enough teams. They're undefeated right now. I think they're going to get a couple losses and one or two losses for those programs. But that gives 12 teams, a dozen teams, that would still be fighting. Penn State and Florida would still be fighting for a top eight if we got there. Let's shift gears a little bit, Brent, and talk about programs that traditionally have been good but disappointing. We agree with Tennessee. It just seems like for 10 years or more, the Tennessee Volunteers simply can't get back to their winning ways, and that is 9, 10, 11 wins and having a chance to go in the playoffs. What other team, Brent, do you think is disappointing so far this season?
It's really tough for me to say a ranked opponent is necessarily a disappointing program, but that's the way I'm going with the Michigan Wolverines. I've been pro coach my whole life with growing up as a coach's kid and everything. Jim Harbaugh just simply can't get a big win. And when you're a coach for Michigan football, you need to get big wins. He hasn't been able to beat Ohio State. He had a great opportunity to play a Wisconsin team, and I didn't think Michigan would have beaten Wisconsin last week, and so that's not really my problem that they lost, but the fact that the way they lost, down 35-0, ended up losing 35-14, they were never in that game. And it's kind of getting to that place where if Jim Harbaugh doesn't start winning those big games, you can't just beat Indiana every year or some of those lower Big Ten schools every single year. You got to start being able to get big wins if you want to end up surviving as Michigan's head coach. So Michigan is really disappointed. Not only that, it took them overtime to beat Army. They are really struggling right now, and I did not see that coming. And so they are disappointing to me right now.
That's hard to follow. That's well stated. I'm just going to throw out a couple names. UCLA, traditional team out west, has really fallen on tough times despite their big comeback win last week against Washington State. And Florida State, what has happened to the Seminoles? Their stadium was just partially filled last week against Louisville, and that's a program that's traditionally been good that's really struggling. So now we're going to go in a different route. We're going to look at some surprise teams in each conference. And because Brett and I love to tailgate, go 6 to 8 hours before games, we've traveled to a lot of places to watch football, we're going to share with you places we'd like to go tailgate. So we're going to start off in the Big Ten. My surprise team right now is Maryland. They put up some points early, then a surprise loss to Temple. We'll find out this Friday if they're serious. I believe they're playing Penn State. And Maryland has a chance to get to a bowl and beat some people that maybe in the preseason they didn't. Brent, who's your surprise team in the Big Ten?
I'm going with Maryland, too. They had two wins to start. That one win was against Howard, and the other one was against Syracuse, who was ranked at the time, which was my surprising win. But the amount of points they put up those 2 weeks, even in a Howard win, putting up the amount of points they did, that was really surprising. I know they struggled against Temple, struggled scoring against Temple. And I think we'll see Friday night when they play Penn State whether that offense is really that legit or if it was just a two-week wonder. But they are, out of any other team, and the amount of points that their offense has put up, they are my surprising team as well.
I might add that the way Wisconsin is winning on the road against Southern Florida, dominant, at home, yeah. Michigan, dominant, their schedule's really, really tough. We'll see if it can continue. But they'd be a little surprising on how they've played, not the fact that they've won. So let's talk tailgating. We've gone to a lot of the Big Ten stadiums and tailgated. Some of them for official tailgates that went up to Minnesota last year and just went to some establishments around the stadium. But where would you like to go, Brent, that you haven't gone in the Big Ten to tailgate?
I have not been to Nebraska, and I think that would be a great atmosphere, a great tailgate spot to go. I also note that I've been to Michigan about three times, I think, and I really enjoy those tailgates. But if we're talking about a place I have not been to, I really want to. It's a bucket list item of mine, get to Nebraska for a home football game.
What makes Michigan tailgates so great?
I like the just the atmosphere. We've met so many good people there. Like Michigan fans, in my experiences there, have been so awesome. Like even if you're not rooting for their team, they will open you with open arms and they will come and talk to you. And I actually played cornhole with a bunch of Michigan fans, and I just liked the camaraderie I've had there. And then also we've tailgated pretty close to the stadium, and that's always nice. You don't have to walk very far too.
A nice golf course because it's just nice to be on a good grass setting for a tailgate. I agree with you on the fans at Michigan. There was that one fan after the last game that kind of got loud as we were walking out. But compared to some other schools, that's pretty good. I think the Penn State tailgate was really nice looking over the mountains in 2015 when we went out to Penn State. So some good tailgate spots in the Big Ten. Let's go to the ACC. My surprise team is Wake Forest. A team that's off to a 4-0 start. We'll see again as they play some tougher opponents in the ACC if that'll continue. Brent, who's your surprise team in the ACC?
My surprise team is Virginia. They're ranked now. They're playing pretty well, and I wasn't expecting them to be this ranked this high. I don't think I expected them to be a bad team. They've been good the last few years for them. But I think the way they are ranked right now, they play Notre Dame this weekend, correct?
Correct, at Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame, so that will be very interesting and a great opportunity for them. I'm not sure they'll win that one, but we'll see if they can really be for real with playing that level of competition. But I think they are off to a great start.
And where in the ACC would you like to go tailgate?
Clemson, easy. I don't know if I've been to Wake Forest one time, but I think that's the only ACC place I've tailgated at. But Clemson and their tradition, how good they are every year, I think that would be an amazing spot to tailgate.
I'm right there with you on Clemson. Let's head to the Big 12. Who's your surprise team in the Big 12 so far, Brent?
I don't really watch the Big 12 like I watch the Big 10, ACC, SEC, but I'm going to go with Kansas State.
I agree. They're off to a 3-0 start. You have Oklahoma and Texas, who are the biggies there. Oklahoma State's a nice program, too, but Kansas State has had its ups and downs over the years, and they seem to have rebounded. So that's a good team to keep watching. And where would you like to go tailgate in the Big 12?
I think Oklahoma would be cool. I don't really know much of their tradition. I'd have to research a little bit more about their tradition, but I know that their games are packed all the time. They always have good teams. They've had great quarterbacks. And I'm sure it's a great atmosphere leading up to the game.
For me, it would be the Red River rivalry in Dallas, Texas, the game between Texas and Oklahoma, where half the stadium's Texas and half of it's Oklahoma, played in the state fairgrounds there in Dallas, and go for the whole weekend because I hear the bar scene is great and everyone's wearing their colors. That would be a great weekend and game day atmosphere in college football. We're heading out to the Pac-12 now. Brent, who is your surprise team?
I'm going to go Colorado with the wins over Nebraska and even Arizona State, because Arizona State upset Michigan State. Those two wins are impressing me right now out of the Pac-12.
You know, Colorado, we said on the podcast earlier, is one of those teams that traditionally had been successful back in the 80s and 90s that you'd like to see start winning again. And they were off to a good start and then lost to Air Force in a surprise. They beat Nebraska and then had a bad loss. But I agree with you that that's been a surprise team. I really was surprised Arizona State went into Michigan State and beat Michigan State for the second year in a row, but then they lose to Colorado. But I think combined Colorado and Arizona State, as you mentioned, those are two teams to continue to watch in the Pac-12. And where would you like to go tailgate in the Pac-12?
Oregon. I've always seen them good, and I don't know. I don't really have many bucket lists in the Pac-12. I don't really follow their conference like I do some others. But I love Oregon. I love their tradition. I love their jerseys. I think it'd be a bucket list item to go to a game there.
Autzen Stadium is loud and is a great place to watch a game on television. I, like you, do not do a lot of West Coast traveling, but that would be one place. I would love to go to Washington, and they have the boat tailgates too, as the stadium is right there near the water. I've always wanted to sailgate like they do at Tennessee, and Washington's another place where that happens. We're going to end our college football discussion with the SEC. Brent, surprise team in the SEC.
This one was really tough because I don't know if there's like a surprise team. We either knew these SEC teams were going to be bad or we knew these SEC teams were going to be good. So my surprise team is Auburn, kind of. But like, we still both had them in our top eight.
Right.
So I don't know if they're that surprising of a team, but I still think they're a little higher than I might have expected at the start of the season.
They had a quality freshman quarterback, and despite being a good quarterback, anytime you're a freshman, and especially playing in the SEC in that tough schedule, you wonder if they're going to play well. Well, he beats Oregon, goes into Texas A&M, and has beaten Texas A&M. So that's the reason they're a surprise, even though they're highly ranked. Most surprise teams might be 15 to 25 or something like that. The tailgating scene in the SEC is probably incredible no matter where you go. You have the Florida-Georgia tradition, the greatest outdoor cocktail party. You have Tennessee with the sailgate, and we've been to Tennessee before. Alabama, Mississippi, you name it, there's a great tailgate ready to happen in the SEC. But where is the one place that I think you and I both agree we would love to go?
No question, it's Ole Miss with the Grove. No question. It's a bucket list item.
And the Grove, if you're not sure what that is, look it up. But it is a designated area where there are no vehicles, and people have to rush in and put their tents up, and it's just a real high-class place. The players walk through the Grove on their way to the stadium, and it is one of the best places in America to tailgate. And Brent, you've been raised well by your mother to appreciate good tailgate spots. So any last thoughts about the college football season as it has gone the first 4 weeks?
I'm just excited as a fan because we got through. We've had some good matchups here and there, but we kind of got through that little portion of the season where a lot of good teams were playing lesser teams, and now we're going to really get going into conference play where we're going to be seeing great matchups week in and week out, and it's going to be so fun to watch.
I agree. Well said, Brent, and appreciate your long takes today. So that'll do it for this episode of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. For Brent Tonsoni, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Check in every week. Next week, we have a special guest, Bud Wright, head coach of Sheridan, multiple state championships, all-time winningest coach in Indiana, a good friend of our Tonsoni family, and a little bit of reminiscing about Sheridan football next week. So for Brent, I'm Brian. We'll see you later.